Good morning, and welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Right before the show, I was taking a drink to wet my throat, and then I inhaled some of it, so now I'm coughing from my lemon water being in the wrong place. Okay, we'll try to get started better here. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. I'm a certified life coach, a Catholic retreat speaker, the author of the Love and Life Program for Parents and Teens, the Sex Respect Abstinence Program for Public Schools, and the new video discussion series for parents with young children and teens. I give a fun keynote address called Four Heart Healthy Habits for Holiness for fundraisers or live events. I have a master's degree in health education, honorary doctorate in humane letters, and teaching certificates in science, health, theology, and physical education. I've taught school at every level. When my sex respect curriculum reached national acclaim and controversy, actually, I was a guest on shows such as Oprah, Geraldo, 60 Minutes, and Mother Angelica Live. I was invited to the Vatican by Pope John Paul II's Pontifical Council for the Family to come to Rome because they considered my Love and Life program a model of the truth and meaning of human sexuality, wanted me to present it to the countries of the world. And I've been here on Catholic Radio for 26 years, offering free, friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. So you can give us a call. I'm here the next 2 hours to offer you that free, friendly advice. I've been married a long time. I came from a large family. I raised 5 kids to adulthood. And I've heard a lot of these problems before, but there's nothing like your unique situation. So call in with your question or personal problem. Your calls drive the show. You decide what the topics are today. I just get the opening time. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. And you can learn more about my work, or you can contact me through my website, the word respect, the number 4, and the letter U, respect4u.com. As for now, Eric is there to take your calls. If you have a personal problem in your marriage, your friendships, at work, with your parents, at church, with your adult children, or a decision you're trying to make, or you'd like some outside input or a second opinion from a Catholic perspective, give us a call, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Eric is here to take your calls. Tell him your first name, where you're calling from, or what station you're listening to, and the topic of your question. He'll put it on my board. He's over there in Michigan at the Ave Maria Radio Studios at Domino Farms in Michigan, and I'm here in Illinois at my home studio, and we connect via the internet, so all you got to do is call him, 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. The number to get on today's Mass Appeal. You're welcome to line up. This is a place where I've announced this litany of truth several times, but this is a place where we know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. But even if you have a question about that, I'll help you come to an understanding, because we're made in God's image, and we are made with his the image and likeness of God, with his dignity. So we know that women are not men, and men are not women, because he made us male and female. We know that lust is not love, it's twisted love. We know that pets are not children. We know that feelings are not facts. We have to process our feelings in a different way and still use our brains the way God gave them to us. And we know that the creatures, those of us that are created, are not the creator, so we don't worship each other or the creation. We worship the creator. And that tough love is not hate. It's a deeper love, a love for someone's soul. Boyfriends and girlfriends are not spouses. Character might divide us, but skin color does not. And we believe that murdering little babies is never okay under any circumstances. And that's why the church has so many wonderful programs for post-abortive healing, when people realize that what they did was wrong, and killing their child no matter what the circumstances, and that the church is here to help them heal. Then the other end of life, too, the hour of death is nature's choice, not ours. And pride is the first of the seven capital sins. So we know that we don't want to be proud in terms of we thinking we're smarter than God, right? Because everything's not all good. There is good and evil. There's the devil. He influences many more people than we'd like to believe, especially last weekend with all the skull and crossbones out and goblins and ghouls and ghosts and witches for Halloween. But for today, let's look at our souls. Let's look at our souls. How do we glorify God with our whole body, our whole mind, will, and strength? And if we're struggling with that, give me a call. How do we honor the people that have passed? This is All Souls Month. We want to honor that. And so I thought it would be good today as we start off to talk about the four last things, since this is the month of All Souls. And some of you, if you were catechized, what would I say in a long time ago? that the four last things was something that theologians used to talk about frequently when I was a little kid. So it's a very long time ago. And Archbishop Fulton Sheen used to talk about the four last things. So what are the four last things? Well, since it's November, the month of All Souls, it's time to think about and discuss the whole mission of our life, which is to be in heaven for all eternity, right? So the church teaches us about these four last things, which are death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And some of you were catechized. That means you went to religious ed classes in years where people didn't want to talk about death, judgment, heaven, or hell. So it was kind of, I would say, just kind of swished over under the Jesus loves you message. The Jesus loves you message is prominent, it's beautiful, it's life-changing, but it's not the only message. That we have to love God in return, and we're going to be held accountable for this at our death judgment, and either by heaven or hell. So let's look at these four last things. Death comes to everyone. The Catechism says death is the end of earthly life. So we've got to remember that regularly and realize we only have a limited time in which to bring our lives to fulfillment. That's Catechism. Paragraph 1007. Then Archbishop Fulton Sheen wrote, before the Catechism came out, death is not the end, but only the beginning, he said. It's the moment when the soul is freed from the limitations of the body and stands before God. As we contemplate these realities, let's remember the wisdom of St. Francis de Sales, where he says, you may have seen this on a little plaque somewhere, do not fear what may happen tomorrow. The same loving Father who cares for you today will care for you tomorrow and every day. Either he will shield you from suffering, or he will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace then, and put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginings. Decades ago, when I was struggling with some issues with sex respect, being obviously sued by the ACLU and, you know, being told I was imposing morality on the public by a public school health book. Somebody sent me that plaque. And so if you like that saying, you can find it probably in a Catholic bookstore, but it's by St. Francis de Sales. Do not fear what may happen tomorrow. So that's death. We don't have to be afraid of death. Catholics don't have to be afraid of death. So God calls us to be prepared for death by trusting in his providence, trusting in his mercy, going to confession regularly, and filling ourselves up with him in the Eucharist. So death is the first of the last four things. Then comes judgment. So after death, we all face judgment, the second of the four last things. And the Catechism says, each man receives his eternal retribution in his immortal soul at the very moment of his death. Either entrance into the blessedness of heaven or immediate and everlasting damnation. That's Catechism 1022. Archbishop Fulton Sheen said, at the moment of death, we shall be judged by love. The love we gave, the love we received, the love we withheld. Okay, got it? The love we gave, the love we received, the love we withheld. So Jesus spoke about this clearly in the Bible too, and he said, "For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will reward each according to his works." That's Matthew 16, verse 27. So this reminds us that our actions, our choices, have eternal significance. They're not just about, oh, they didn't hurt anybody, or just about today, or nobody really knew about it. Our actions have eternal significance, and this encourages us to live faithfully in anticipation of our final judgment. So there's the first two of the four last things: death, judgment, heaven, and hell. Nothing to be afraid of, because we follow Jesus, right? All right, heaven is the perfect happiness with God. The Catechism calls it the state of supreme, definitive happiness. That's Catechism 1024. Bishop Sheen described heaven as the complete and perfect possession of God. Can you just imagine that? I try to imagine it all the time. A joy that no eye has seen nor ear has heard. Heaven is the soul's true home, and heaven is the goal of every Catholic soul. And when you study many of the saints who would practice the presence of God, they try to bring heaven here on earth, at least in their heart. And the prayer, the Our Father that Jesus gave us, asks us to bring his kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. So we're here to try to bring these moments of heaven here with peace and patience and kindness to one another. Okay, and then the last of the four last things is hell. Death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And hell means being separated from God forever. The Catechism states in Article 1035, the chief punishment of hell is eternal separation from God. Archbishop Fulton Sheen wrote, "Hell is not so much a place as a state of absolute loneliness, of being shut out from love." And if we know that Jesus died for our sins, and if we're trying to avoid sin, repent of our sin, seek God's forgiveness in confession, and feed on his love in the Eucharist, you know, we don't have to fear hell. Right? So death, judgment, heaven, and hell are the four last things. And time on earth is short in comparison to eternity. So let's think about these four last things with faith, with hope, with honesty, and with love. The four last things as we think about souls. We're also praying for the souls in purgatory. Any of our loved ones we pray that may have been forgotten. We pray for them all month. We can talk about that a little bit later, but it's time for a break and time for you to call. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK, and we'll be back with your calls in just a moment.
Beacon Skin and Surgeries is a comprehensive dermatology center on the border of Troy and Rochester Hills, south of M59 and in Livonia. Beacon Skin and Surgeries perform full skin exams and focus on the diagnosis and treatment of all types of skin cancer and precancerous lesions. All are board-certified dermatologists and fellowship-trained surgeons. Call 248-852-1900. Beacon Skin and Surgeries, a beacon for patient care. 248-852-1900.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John breaks open the theology of the body. The Theology of the Body's books and teachings were developed from 5 years' worth of homilies from Pope St. John Paul II. He preached about the dignity and beauty of our physical form, the image of God reflected in our very existence. Join us this week as Father John shows us the glory in our creation, as well as how to read the Bible. Tune in for Christ is the Answer, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Strained or broken relationships are a given in most of our lives. Friends fall away, siblings drift apart, children sever ties with their parents, and despite our best efforts, these painful fissures are difficult to mend. Hi, I'm Dr. Ray. If you want to learn how to communicate better with the difficult people in your life and be a more easygoing, more forgiving person, check out my book, How to Get Along with Almost Everybody. Check it out. And all my other books on the store page at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
Looking for a more peaceful family by Christmas? Join Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak for a free live webinar, Have a more peaceful family by Christmas. It's Thursday, November 13th from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Discover practical ways to reclaim Advent with purpose, prayer, and joy. Don't let Advent slip by in stress and distraction. Join the Pop Chicks and turn this season into a sacred success story. Register now at AveMariaRadio.net and make this Advent your most intentional yet.
Good morning. Welcome to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your faith in a world that is not what I'd call faith-based anymore. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our first caller today is Alicia from Washington, D.C. Welcome to the show, Alicia. How can I help you today?
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I explained some of the details, but I can go over it again.
Yeah, because I didn't actually read it. I know he wrote it on here, but
okay.
I didn't have time to read it yet.
No problem.
Tell us your question.
So it has to do with my adult daughter. She'll be 24 in about a couple of months. And this past summer in August, right before she went back to school, away at college, she's finishing up her last year. I found a diary, and I discovered that, and some birth control pills that I found while I was cleaning her room. So I found out she's been sexually active, just recently started to be with her boyfriend, who claims to be Christian from, they're not Catholic, they're a different religion, but, this, according to her, this all took place at his home, his family's home. We haven't seen them since. I told her, please take a break from all this. You know, this has to stop.
Good, good.
According to her, she's promised to stop.
Oh,
and
good.
She says, oh, I had to talk with him. But we are supposed to see the family. About 1 week from today, I'm supposed to see him at the school recital she's going to have, and she invited them because mm-hmm. she insists on continuing this relationship. And, you know, I just feel betrayed because I know that they know what happened. Because
betrayed by his parents by her?
By her and the family. Why would they allow this to happen at their home? I know that there's a relative that's always there that they help out, and so... I know that they know what's happening. They just let them go to the room and do whatever they want. And
okay.
I feel betrayed, but I guess it's really up to my daughter, right? I'm just wondering, do I say anything when I see them? I feel betrayed. You know, they claim to be Christian, but I guess not everybody handles things the same way.
No kidding. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so you feel betrayed first by your daughter, of course, then her boyfriend's family who enables yes. this to happen as enablers. Okay, so you're going to a mm-hmm. recital, and you want to know if you should bring this up, huh, Alicia? All right, good
yeah.
question. Yeah. Okay, first of all, at the recital, I don't think this is the time to bring this up. You feel betrayed, and you don't want to act just on your feelings. Your feelings are indicators that something is wrong, right? This feeling is an indicator that something's wrong, and you feel betrayed. So that's your feeling, but besides feeling betrayed, you're probably having this sense of injustice, like something wrong was done. You know, it isn't just how I feel about it. There was a wrong. Your daughter and her boyfriend committed something wrong, a sin, a mortal sin, and these other people yes. supported it. This is unfortunately very common in our culture that we just, ignore. Actually, I was just thinking about that last night, about how we just kind of ignore that mortal sin exists and ignore all the sexual sin. I was working with a school that was considering promoting love ed, and they just find such complacency in the parents. They're like, oh, well, everybody does it. You know, this is Catholics, you know. So I think bringing it up at the recital is not appropriate. And so work on your feelings on that. What I think you want to focus your energy on instead of this feeling of betrayal is to what can I do to correct this injustice? There are two unfair mm-hmm. things going on. So focus your energy on that and pray to the Holy Spirit that God will show you an opportunity either to bring it up or not. Now you've talked to, since you've spoken about it with your daughter and she said they've stopped, you want to affirm that as much as you can. And just say, I'm glad you said you stopped, and you bring that up again. And then you ask her, since you're openly communicating about it, just say, is his family still providing you with that temptation, by allowing you to go to the bedroom? And see if, just so she becomes aware this is a temptation that they're enabling. And then you want to ask her, are you strong enough to resist whatever temptations are out there? Because there will be plenty. So you have to remind her that we just don't fall into bed and our clothes pop off. I mean, that is that we take steps along the way. One of them is stepping up to the bedroom. One is going inside the bedroom. The other is leaving the door closed. The other is, you know, probably being in a reclined position, just watching a movie that probably has a bunch of sins on it. So in my Sex Respect book, I look at all the different steps of that, that take us there. So it's not one decision. So you want to bring it up to her before it happens and tell her, I feel funny seeing his parents because I know they have turned the other, you know, just looked another way at what you were doing, but I'm so glad that you stopped. I hope you continue to stop. And then you ask her, are they still, looking the other way and providing you with that temptation? And if so, then ask her what she wants to do about the temptation. And so just say, do you not go over there anymore? Do you stay downstairs in the family room? What are you going to do? So help your daughter strengthen her resolve not to put herself in the situation for this to happen again. And just work with her as if she had stopped. Then backup is if her, not in-laws, they're not married yet. If her boyfriend's parents, you know, like you're standing there after the recital and something comes up. Now that's different than I told you not to bring it up at a recital, but if something comes up and if they say something like, yeah, we heard you were upset about, you know, whatever happened in the bedroom, say, and then you can agree that, yes, I am, and I hope you don't provide them with that temptation again. Okay? And then if you do want to, after you've talked to your daughter about what she's doing to resist temptation, if you have a chance to speak to the parents, not at this recital or, you know, outside at a different location, you know, and your daughter has told you that's hard, you could ask her to talk to them about it. Or if they do bring it up, then you can say, yes, you know, I talked to my daughter and she's finding that to be a great temptation. You could help her resist this temptation by not expecting them to go up in or go down or around the house in private places. So maybe they need some help with that. So you would encourage them to help her avoid the temptation. Lead us not into temptation. We pray in the Our Father and deliver us from evil. So if they bring it up, you can remind them what we pray in the Our Father, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil. Or you can talk to your daughter about talking to them about helping her out since she's stopped, she's changed, and she wants to be pure. Because you and I know from listening to the show or from reading my chastity books that sex outside of marriage can fool you into marrying the wrong person, because that sexual bonding leads you to believe your relationship is deeper than it actually is. And then you wake up a few years later and you're like, whoa, who did I marry? And so if these two are meant to be together, the worst thing they can do together is sin. And the best thing they can do together is abstain and develop chastity as a virtue of respect for one another, respect for their dignity, respect for the fact that if they should be meant for one another, they will be married. And in that case, you receive grace from performing the marriage act rather than it being a mortal sin that divides you. So it's exactly the opposite in and out of marriage. So if they say, oh, what's the difference? It's just a piece of paper. No, it's either a sacrament or a mortal sin, one or the other. So use that with your daughter about lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. See if she could bring that up with her in-laws, or if it opens up and the Holy Spirit moves you to do that, you can bring that up as well. But then work through those feelings. The reason you feel so betrayed and that continues because something wrong has been done and you want to do what you can to fix it.
Hi, I'm Angie. Did you know a billboard can save a baby's life? It's true. You can make a difference this holiday by helping us spread the pro-life message to reach those who are struggling with an unplanned pregnancy. Our billboards and ads feature our 800 hotline for help, which connects people to pro-life centers nationwide that can assist with free medical help, baby supplies, and more. Won't you join us in this season of giving? Please make a gift today. Visit prolifeacrossamerica.org. That's prolifeacrossamerica.org.
Fire on the Earth's Peter Herbeck.
Without the light that comes from Christ, we walk in darkness. And darkness is a way of describing this fallen world in which we don't know why we're here even. We can't touch meaning because we ultimately can't see God, and we can't be satisfied because we were made for God. We were made as this entire creation. The whole cosmos was made to the glory of God. It all exists to reveal the glory and the majesty, the beauty, the complexity, the creative love and power of God. And all of it gives praise to Him, except for fallen angels and rebellious human hearts. We're made literally to live for the glory of God, to worship Him, to give thanks to Him. That's what heaven is. It's not just a big prayer meeting, but it is the full celebration of free souls and creatures just overwhelmed by the majesty and beauty of God. And we're sharing in it. We're not just watching it like we do on a movie, that when it's over, it's over. We're in it. We're sharing in the life. And it's total and absolute fulfillment. We can't hardly even imagine what that's like. The best we can do in this world is to have some measure of distraction or something that makes me feel good temporarily. Or temporary goals that we kind of have hope in. Those intermediate goals are good goals, but they don't solve the big problem. They don't produce genuine heart that brings peace to the soul and transformation.
Peter Herbeck spreads fire on the earth, weekday mornings at 6:30 and again at 11:45 on Ave Maria Radio.
Welcome back to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Give us a call with whatever might be disturbing your peace, whether it's in your home, your heart, the church, the world, at work. Give me a call. I'll help you work through that problem and figure out what's the next step to take to find some peace, whether you're having a strong feeling of betrayal like Alicia, our first caller, or you're just trying to correct some injustices in the world, or you're trying to survive or prepare for holidays with mean relatives or distant relatives. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our next caller is Carol from Virginia. Thanks for calling, Carol. Welcome to Mast Appeal. You're on the air now. How can I help you today, Carol?
Yes, hi. I think my question relates to the last one.
Okay.
My oldest son has been dating a woman for 10 years. They're both widowed, and they seem to care deeply for each other, but neither of them want to get married, mainly because they would lose financial death benefits of their former spouses. They're included in family vacations, and though it's made clear that in vacation homes where we stay together, they sleep separately, they otherwise openly spend nights together all year long. They're both in their early 60s. My son hasn't been to Mass or Confession in many years. I recently met them for dinner, and they both repeated their firmness in, though committed to each other, they're never getting married. My question, any suggestion as to, as far as how should I behave toward them after 10 years? They said it out loud that they're not ever getting married, and now I don't know what to do.
Oh my goodness, what a heartache this must be for you, Carol. Oh, your heart is breaking. And when you think of the culture that people are living in, people would say, oh, that's fine. They've been together 10 years, and it's a money thing. And when I heard you speaking, I was just thinking there's a choice between money or God. I mean, that's really what their bottom line choice is, to live a moral life and to receive the graces of the sacrament for their love to grow. Because they're in that last half of life, we would suspect that if people can live to 120 at the most, they're in the last half. And it's important for them to start thinking about those four last things that I mentioned earlier in the show. So this is hard because they're choosing money over God. So what can you do? Well, you've been very clear up until this point as to what is right and wrong. So you've done your teaching. But the second thing that you want to do is give them some reasons for hope that that can change. And so you can stack up in your mind, whether you're reading about abstinence or reading about the theology of marriage or reading the catechism about the sixth commandment, give them some reasons. And when they say that, you could, or when you talk to them sometime or talk to your son, because he is your child and maybe you'd be better off talking to privately sometime, that you could say, you know, I know you said you never want to get married, but I hope you change that. I wonder if you don't understand or appreciate what marriage really is. Marriage is not just about living together and sleeping together. Marriage is a sacrament. Sacrament, a gift from God to elevate love to a supernatural level. And then you could say that now that you're in the second half of your life, I hope you want to think a little bit more about God, how he created you, what he made you for, and the fact that we will all face God at the end of our lives. And at this point, Carol, he might say, oh, Mom, get off. Like, stop it. You know, I don't believe all that stuff. And say, well, maybe you don't now, but I'm hoping that you will be enlightened, maybe by the Holy Spirit or maybe by circumstance in your life, that you will see what a gift the sacrament of matrimony can be to you as a couple. And when God created man and woman to be together and come together in marriage, in the marriage act, he did this for our good. And so just say you're kind of, you know, more than kind of, you are selling yourself short by choosing to cohabit. You also, Carol, want to thank him for sleeping separately when family reunions. It's not that everybody doesn't know, but that shows that he believes it just a little, doesn't it? You know, that he's, they know what they're doing is wrong. So I'd see that almost as a good sign that they sleep separately, at least not to avoid scandal. So whether you want to talk to him before then, or at that, or about that, just say, I noticed that you sleep separately and I'm so happy that you do that. You want to affirm that part, that good. I'm glad that you do that in order not to make a public statement to our entire family, that you are, you know, committing, you're violating the sixth commandment. We could call it that. So I'm glad that you respect us all that much. But I still wonder if you need to rethink your lifestyle a little bit. One, because of God's grace and his love. And two, for yourselves, that you can benefit from that sacrament. And of course, then, because of the scandal. And then when he understands a little bit about the sacrament and about the differences between just shacking up. And one of my friends that talked to his son about that said, you're making if you love her, why are you making her into a whore? I mean, he was pretty clear. blue-collar, straightforward guy. But you also might want to remind him what choice he's making. If it's about your benefits from the past spouse, would it not be better to get a second job and have a holy marriage than it is to stay unmarried for the sake of money? And when he realizes that is the choice that he's making, it between money and God, and you plant that seed, then you just continue to pray for him and let the Holy Spirit work from there and bring it up a couple times, or if he bring, you know, a couple times a year. And if he brings it up again, Mom, I can't believe you said that. I was choosing between money and God. And then you could say, yeah, maybe that bothered your conscience a little bit because that is the choice that you're making. So simple truths like that will help him examine where he is, where he's going. But I wouldn't give up on it. I'd be very gentle, occasional, not drive him since he knows what you believe, but bring it up occasionally, thanking him for living separately or sleeping separately on family trips, knowing that he knows what's right and wrong. And then to help him see that the sacrament of marriage is a beautiful gift for couples, and that we are going to face our last judgment of the choices we made in our life, and that he's making a choice between money and God. So those are some points that I would occasionally bring up, but as you do that, and in between that, Carol, you want to pray constantly for them. Maybe that novena, Mary Undoer of Knots, or the surrender to God, or consecrate them to the Holy Family, you know, because God will act on your prayers. So pray, 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 and those are the ideas that you can present to him. And then have peace in your heart that you are continuing to do every single thing that you can to pray for them and to act and to teach them. God bless you, Carol. Thanks for the question. We'll be back with more of Mast Appeal, 877-5-PEP-TALK.
All are invited to attend the St. John of the Cross Secular Order of Discalced Carmelites Fall Event, featuring Father John Ricardo speaking on Priesthood, the Unspoken Crisis, Why Praying for Priests Matters. This free event begins with Mass at 8:30 a.m. on Saturday, November 15th at Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor, followed by breakfast, the talk, and Eucharistic Adoration. Visit the community calendar at AveMariaRadio.net for details.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Light of the East, weekends on Ave Maria Radio.
I am Father Thomas Loya. This week on Ave Maria, I hear the echoes of the coming Christmas season, and it presents us with not only a spirit of gift, but also of saints and angels to focus upon in our preparation.
Now on Ave Maria Radio's newest FM stations, 105.5 FM in Southfield and 107.9 FM in Ann Arbor.
Every woman deserves specialized health care. At Arbor Women Health, our team of compassionate professionals listen to our patients and want to understand what they're going through. They serve everyone from teen girls to seniors. Our faith-based clinicians specialize in obstetrics, gynecology, fertility awareness in crisis, or unexpected pregnancies. Call 734-930-4020 or visit arborwomenhealth.org. Arbor Woman, faith-inspired, dignity-affirming healthcare.
Good morning. Welcome to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. You're listening to Catholic Radio. If you were just switching around the dials, maybe you're on Sirius Radio Channel 130. Maybe you've stumbled across your local Catholic radio station. I hope you support them all. Maybe you're listening on the Ave Maria Radio app. You're assured to hear the whole show there, even on holidays, because our show is produced by Ave Maria Radio. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. I'm a life coach, author, speaker, and I'm here today to help you for the next hour and 20 minutes left if you need some confidence for your family life, what to do or what not to do, what to say or what not to say, when to act, when to sit back, or maybe some clarity for your moral life. Is this really wrong? I thought this was wrong, but I'm not sure. Or maybe some encouragement for your spiritual life. Yes, God loves you and He calls us to love Him in return. Or maybe some prudence for your social life. Should I be with this person or not? Is this good for me or bad? Should I move out of this group or stay with the group? Or maybe just some knowledge for the everyday applications of your life. Give me a call. This is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. You can learn more about my work at my website, respect4u.com. But for now, give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our next caller is Roxana from Cincinnati, Ohio. Welcome to the show, Roxana. You have a comment on the first caller. Go ahead with your comment.
Thank you.
Sure.
I was just, you know, I agree with everything that you stated completely. It's just the idea in when you said, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil, it touched a nerve. Because growing up in a very traditional Catholic country, I think the parents use that as a means of perhaps keeping us from getting into that temptation. But I realized later on as an adult, now 70, that saying delivering us from evil, it put an idea in my head that sex was evil. And I lived with that for many, many years.
Oh my goodness.
A happy marriage in many ways. I just recently lost my husband. But
sorry.
Hearing and seeing other people as I move on in my life, I began to realize that my concept was very different than other people. And I understand now as an adult, as a woman, that again it was used perhaps as a means to scare us, you know, to keep us away from that.
Oh, maybe.
But it does, or it did, put that idea in my head. And it, although I was married, because my mother would say, it's a gift from God.
Good.
It's, you know, part of the marriage.
Right, the marriage act.
Exactly. But for the many years that I lived with that idea in my head, I know it had a lot of consequences.
Yeah, I've heard that before, that people that are, you know, in these last, 30 years since Pope John Paul II and the theology of the body, most young people have a different view of the marriage act and they hold it up high in esteem, those who have studied the theology of the body and see what Pope John Paul II revealed to us in understanding and appreciate the beautiful gift of male and female complementarity, which is, you know, spiritual and mental and physical, that this physical union in marriage is an expression of the gift of each other, the total gift of self. And so people that see it that way, you know, would not interpret it that you do. But you're right, there is a trend of people who were taught that, you know, against the sixth commandment, that fornication is evil, adultery is evil, masturbation is evil, pornography is evil, you know, that you can use the marriage act in an evil way. And so you're right, as they were growing up, if their parents used that kind of to scare them, they would think that deliver us from evil means that the act itself is evil, which is absolutely not true when you know, read, and study the church teachings. The marriage act in marriage, as I mentioned to our earlier caller, is a beautiful gift from God to man and woman. to receive graces to join our lives together, and he gives us a gift of pleasure and the gift of children and the gift of bonding and unity with the act itself. And so if people understand and begin to study and appreciate that this marital act is unitive and procreative, which is what Pope Paul VI taught us in Humani Vitae, that the unitive and procreative dimensions cannot be separated, then that was enlightening to everybody. But instead of thinking, wow, the Pope tells us how unitive this sacramental act is in marriage, and all they listen to is, oh, the Pope's against birth control, you know, so people don't even read the beauty of the church's teachings. And so it's common for people to have that thought, like you did, that they thought that the act itself was evil. Well, outside of marriage, yes, because you destroy the beauty of the gift and you taint the possibility of the one flesh union, because you've already adulterated the purity of your marriage before you even met the person. So the marriage act itself in marriage is full of grace and beauty if it's a total gift of self from one to the other, an expression of the relationship that you have, that you're working on this union in all these other ways of your life. So I think it's a good point that you bring up, Roxana, that we have to teach people well the theology of the body, the beauty of the Catholic Church teachings, which is what I try to do in my Love Ed program and my Love and Life program and my talks, that there's a beauty in the gift. And the reason why we want to abstain outside of marriage is because this gift is to be respected, and the human person is to be respected, and it carries with us these chemical bonding elements, these physical bonding elements, and this possibility of bringing a whole new person into the world. So because of the tremendous beauty and power of this gift, that's why we know that the misusing it outside of marriage takes away the beauty from it. So thanks for bringing that up, Roxana. That is helps us clarify that for people who had that. Does that help you see it in a different way, Roxana?
Oh, yes. And okay. with the help of God through all the years in my union with my husband, I began on my own to see what you just talked about, beauty of that gift. But when I heard it, it just brought back memories, and I thought, oh my goodness, I wonder how many other young women like I was are still seeing it as, oh yes, I know I'm committing a sin every time I have this sexual act with my husband because it's evil.
Right, and you know what else happens is that they do that if their first acts are our sins, and then the memory of the emotion attached to that sin and guilt they bring with them into their marriage. So that's the even more important reason why our young people, anybody, should wait until marriage. So I think we got that clarified. Thank you so much for calling, Roxana. It's an important topic to see the beauty and the gift of marriage, the marriage act, and of total self-gift as God had designed it, and then we don't want to twist that in any way. Thanks for the call. God bless you. Okay, time for a break. We'll be back with more of Masked Appeal right after this message.
If you're on Medicare, start saving with the $0 premium Trinity Health Plan of Michigan HMO. This doctor-designed Medicare Advantage plan offers $1,785 cash back per year in your Social Security check on select plans. Visit TrinityHealth65.com. Get more from this local plan that's on a mission to make Medicare better. You'll have easy access to our large network of providers, plus no referrals for in-network doctors and specialists. Enroll in this budget-friendly plan that can make healthcare easier for you. Visit TrinityHealth65.com for details. Trinity Health Plan of Michigan, HMO, is a Medicare Advantage organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in Trinity Health Plan of Michigan depends on contract renewal. Benefits vary by county. Not all plans have cash back, $1,785.60 per calendar year, which is $148.80 per month. Copays and co-insurance vary by plan. To file a grievance, call 1-800-MEDICARE to file a complaint with Medicare. Other pharmacies, physicians, or providers are available in the plan's network.
Teaches that Jesus Christ is literally and wholly present, body and blood, soul and divinity, under the appearances of bread and wine. In the Bread of Life discourse, documented in John chapter 6, Jesus states that he is the bread of life, and that his flesh is true food and his blood true drink. The Jews were scandalized in verse 52. How can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus does not back down, but reiterates this teaching four more times over the next four verses. Many left in verse 66 because this teaching was truly difficult. But at no point does Jesus water down his teaching and call them back. No, he allows them to leave, and even questions his 12 apostles if they too wish to leave. Jesus intended to be understood literally, and the Jews, apostles, and the Catholic Church absolutely take him at his word. Examining the truths of the Catholic faith, this is faithforensics.org.
Welcome back to Master Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. I'm an author, speaker, and a life coach here to help you today with your personal problems. The number to get on today's show, whether you're struggling in your marriage, your friendships, at work, with your adult children, problems in your prayer life, somebody's just irritating you, and they're not going to change, so how do you change yourself so you don't go insane, be irritated? Whatever your question might be, the number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Our next caller is Madeline from Iowa. Welcome to the show, Madeline. How can I help you today?
I was just looking for some advice on my soon-to-be mother-in-law.
Go ahead. Tell me what's going on there, Madeline.
Well, I got a call from my soon-to-be mother-in-law about a week ago, and she basically told me I'm a terrible person and I'm ruining her son's life because I am controlling all of our next steps in our life. Because we're moving back to my hometown after college, and he's becoming Catholic because I am, and he did research into the faith and realized this is the way to go, but she thinks that I'm pushing all of these decisions on him. So she's been calling him daily for the past week, trying to get him to take back the engagement and break it off.
Oh, my. She's really fierce about this. Okay, yeah. She accuses you of being controlling. Sounds like that your fiancé and your mom need a little more communication. But if anyone accuses you of something, I remember a quote from Ben Franklin that says, if somebody accuses you of something, act so that no one will believe them. So you want to act in a way that she doesn't see you as controlling. So when she says something like that, you're probably just pretty much blown over, like, my goodness, how do I respond to something like that? Because it's so offensive and so mean, I would say. You're doing this. You're wrecking his life. And so you don't have the wherewithal to say, tell me more about that or how are you feeling about that. You're just, like, put down, like she just stepped on you, stomped on you right on the ground, and you're already – you know, got your, you know, mixed feelings about, oh my goodness, the wedding and his parents. And, you know, so first process the emotion. Like, okay, where is she coming from? And how did I feel about that? You probably just felt really crushed. Did you, Madeline?
Yes.
Yeah, you felt crushed. And then you probably felt distance from your fiance that you're trying to join your life with, didn't you? Like, oh my goodness, look what we have against us. And then you probably felt a little distrust or dislike for her. Like, oh my goodness, how am I going to live with her in my life the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. So you got to process all these things and get down to what the real problem is. And that is, I believe, her not communicating with your son, with her son, or your fiance not communicating with her about the joy and the gift that he's seeing and why he's doing this. That is not you making him do this. Now, are you really making him do this? Is like, are you dragging him by the nose, like a controlling woman, or is he freely becoming Catholic? Okay, good. So, how you're gonna? We've got her in a wrapped in how you can process the feelings about it. So then, the next job is his. You want to support him with the reason he's becoming Catholic. You want to affirm him in the reasons that you're getting married, how you're brought together, because he's going to be torn right now. Like, how do I defend myself to my mom? My mother loved me. She brought me into the world. I've got to obey her, you know, and because he's in this transition time of moving from obeying your mother to starting a new family. So he's going through a transition right now. So support him about all your decisions, what you're doing, what you've decided, and then you say to him, like, I think you need to talk to your mom a little bit more about how happy you are to be Catholic and what graces you're receiving, what prompts you're getting from God, whether or not you were marrying me, tell her why you want to become Catholic. And then once she settles down about that part, which he can explain to her, if he's, you know, he's convincing and he really believes it, he can explain it to her and tell and encourage him so he doesn't go to her in fear. You know what I mean? Like, he could be like, I'm afraid to tell my mom that, you know. So you don't have to take the brunt of that. And then about the wedding, you're going to move to your house. Well, you had to pick one or the other. And that's not controlling. Right. That's a decision you made together. And so this, right, after he gets her calmed down about the why he's confident that the Catholic faith is for him, about this, how your discernment, like you looked at this and you looked at that and you were deciding here and deciding there, just include her a little bit in the process, and not to, you know, make her be quiet or anything, but just to help her understand. She doesn't understand because she's not in your relationship. And if she has some confidence in the two of you that you've thought through everything together, then, and then you are making good decisions, she doesn't have to be in every one of your decisions. You're just going to calm her down about this one so she has confidence in her own son and his ability to make a decision, okay? So then she doesn't have to know, understand, or stick her nose in every decision that you make. But just for now, as you're preparing for the wedding, give her the confidence. Have your son, your fiancé give her the confidence that her son knows what he's doing, okay? Calm down and keep praying, Madeline, and God bless you. I hope you have a wonderful engagement and wedding and marriage. Thanks for the call. We'll be back with more of Masked Appeal in just a moment. Second hour of Masked Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show with your question or personal problem as you're trying to live out your faith is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. This is Colleen Kelly Mast. I started out as a teacher with a master's degree in health education, a specialty in human sexuality education. I've traveled the world in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s with Sex, Respect, and Love and Life. I've been on Oprah, Geraldo, 60 Minutes, Steubenville Youth Conferences, and I've been here on Catholic Radio offering free, friendly advice for 26 years now. So I'm a certified life coach, and I'm here to help you for the next hour if you give me a call. The number is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. You get to talk to Eric, our call screener. Tell him your first name, where you're calling from, or the station you're listening to, and the topic of your question. He'll put you on the board, and I'll take you when it's your turn. I kind of was hoping to open up with a question that fell off the, or she had to go. Galen, I still hope to answer your question today, this week still, but we've got a couple good questions on the line as well. So we've got Tim and James on the line. We'll go to those first this hour, and then there's time for you to call as well. 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. Tim from Seattle. No, James is first. Sorry. James from Georgia here on the air now. Go ahead, James, with your question.
Yes. Could you tell me about the different sins, venial, cardinal, mortal? I heard you tell another call about mortal sin, and some of my friends are Catholic, and sometimes in good humor, they'll say, the heathen's here, and I got worried about that thing, and I said, maybe when they used, they're cradle Catholics, and when they use the word heathen, I said, I wonder if that includes every sin under the sun. So if you could explain the cardinal
sure.
and the mortal, I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. For a sin, in the Bible, it'll tell us that there's some sins that are worse than others. So among the mortal sins are, it has to be something serious, and you know it's wrong, and you do it anyway. And those basically are things following the Ten Commandments. For example, missing Mass on Sunday. You know that's a commandment. God wants us to worship Him just 1 hour a week at least, and we know we're supposed to, and we refuse to do it. Obviously, murder is often an example. You know, murdering someone, like you know it's wrong to kill someone, but you do it anyway, and you justify it maybe in your mind or rationalize it. Committing adultery or fornication, even watching pornography because you know it can be addicting. And then those are serious sins. There are many mortal sins. Actually, I found an examination of conscience once that listed mortal sins versus venial sins. And so what a mortal sin does is it's us turning away from God, saying, God, I know you don't want me to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. So it's kind of making yourself the judge or the God. And so it's turning away from God, knowing what He wants you to do, and you won't do it, or you do the wrong thing anyway for whatever reason. If it's laziness or pride, thinking you're smarter than God, or you just don't have the courage, and you don't have the grace to overcome the temptation, because temptations are not sins; they're just an invitation to sin. So a venial sin would include things that don't turn us away from God, but we just kind of like messed up. Or it wasn't a very serious offense. And I'm not exactly one to judge if offenses are serious. But those examples might be when you say something mean to your spouse. And then you later like, oh my goodness, I shouldn't have said that. I know it messed up a fight. We've been fighting now for 3 hours because I said that thing. And you're sorry that it happened. Or maybe you're not sorry, but it's a venial sin. It didn't like destroy your marriage like adultery would, but it destroyed your unity and your love between you. Or coming late to Mass would be a venial sin. Like, I know I should have started half an hour earlier because there was going to be traffic, and I was, you know, I missed the first half of Mass because we sat in the traffic too long. That was like, I knew I should have been more responsible. I knew I should have gotten to church on time, but I didn't. And so it was my irresponsibility that didn't get us there. For the second commandment about words, like about using bad language. A lot of people have a habit of using bad language. That's a venial sin. It offends God. It offends other people, but it doesn't mean we're necessarily turning our backs on God. You know, whereas if we find a false God, like we go to a fortune teller or, you know, trust in another entity that is not God, that would be a serious sin, turning away from God in a false God. Those are just a few examples. Does that help you understand that a little bit better, James?
Your dedication to the Catholic faith and the teaching, it shows today, good heavens alive, and in just a few seconds, and I'm not, it does help. And the only question I have when I was listening to you, it helped me tremendously, and I'm glad I called, and because I've been going through my mind, venial and cardinal, the only question I have is mortal and cardinal sins. I've heard those two terms. Is there any difference other than, but once cardinal, you leave purgatory right on into hell, is that it?
The cardinal sins are probably what you're thinking of: pride, envy, greed, lust, hatred, sloth, laziness.
Oh my goodness!
Yes,
ma'am. That is it. In other words,
the seven capital sins.
I heard Thomas Aquinas say that sloth was a demon or something. So I'm just I'm not anywhere near anything. So when you start worshiping those demons, that becomes cardinal.
Exactly. And those are some of the roots of other sins as well. So that pride, envy, pride, greed, lust, envy, gluttony, anger, sloth lead to other sins. They're a turning away from God in your heart. And when, if we see that surfacing in our life, we as Catholics, and you if you are learning about being Catholic, we look at the virtue that is the opposite of that. So if we have pride, for example, this belief in our own importance, our own superiority, that's the root of all sin. So what we want to do is develop the opposite virtue, which is humility. To see, I am not smarter than God. Maybe I need to obey God. Maybe I need to listen to God. I'm not smarter than everybody else. Maybe I need to quit putting other people down. Or a sin like gluttony, for example, like an excess consumption, whether it's, you know, food or drink or possessions, you know, overindulgence. It weakens our resolve for everything. And so we want to look at the virtue of temperance. You know, how do we find balance that we don't over consume things? So Catholics have, in the full picture, there are seven capital sins that are the root of all sin. And you're right, it's turning toward the evil one and taking on what would, the devil would rejoice if we're angry and lazy and overindulging and envious and resentful and lustful and greedy and pride. That would make the devil happy. So you got that. You understood that part. But we also have the opposing virtues that we with our free will can work on, whether it's generosity or chastity or kindness or patience, diligence, temperance. So the virtues that we try to develop in our life keep us from falling to those temptations to sin. So we will face temptation. And that is part of the human life since original sin. And well, really, since Adam and Eve faced temptation too. And so we inherit that tendency to like sin or want to sin a little bit. And so what we do is develop these virtues that strengthen our soul by the grace of God, to be able to resist those temptations when they come or to identify them when they're there. So we do not commit these seven deadly sins or any mortal sins, and we grow in virtue. That's the basic path to heaven. You got it, James?
I have it, and you have blessed me with the knowledge that you gave me today, and I've got to return the favor with a kind compliment that I share with my wife in the presence of others. I'll be heading to the Methodist Church tomorrow to try to, but yes, ma'am, and I will give the Catholic Church credit, and because you blessed me, because I'll tell my wife just every once in a while. I don't do it routinely, but if I'm in the presence of someone, I'll say, now, people, I've been to Catholic Mass, and I said, don't take communion. I said, but you're not going to outpray the Catholics, and because the nuns, the priests, whew, and I really appreciate y'all praying and doing all that. I really do, and you've been a blessing to me, and thank you so much.
Okay. Thanks for the call, James, and for the kind words. God bless you. Mm-hmm.
But, mm-hmm.
Okay. I think it's time for our break. We will go to our break right now. We'll be back to talk to Tim from Seattle right after this message.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at AveMaria.com. That's AveMaria.com.
Certainly there are people who are fond of you. There are those who admire you, who respect you, who slap you on the back and say, keep up the good work. When all said and done, though, how many people love you? How many have a simple delight in your presence? How many back doors can you enter without knocking, without giving advance notice? In the halls of the school where I teach, I often hear the young calling to each other, love you. Love you too. And I smile, because I know very few of those relationships will survive beyond high school. No, love, the real thing, is a rarity, and the faster our world moves, the fewer are those capable of it. There's one person, though, that has a natural capacity to love, one whose eyes illuminate when he sees the beloved, one who simply wants to be close. This person is a child. In a world already so harsh, why, then, do we kill love every day by the thousands? GuadalupeWorkers.org.
Hello, Steve Ray here from Footprints of God Pilgrimages. The land of our Lord and our Lady is calling us. We're heading back to the Holy Land over Christmas break this year. We have the best, most reliable guides and services awaiting us. The holy sites are open, and the local Christians are anxious to see us. Galilee, Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem. No crowds, no lines. Hope you can join us.
Find the Ave Maria Radio Travel tab at AveMariaRadio.net.
Good morning. Welcome to Mast Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective on how to know, love, and serve God better. God, the creator of all things, of all people, creator of our earth. We strive to direct our lives to His glory so we can know Him, love Him, serve Him in this world so we can be happy with Him in heaven for all eternity. As we speak of this, the souls in purgatory that are striving to be happy with Him and making sacrifices for them, saying prayers for them. Oh, which also, wait, I got to remember that. Today is November 8th. So this is the last day you can gain that plenary indulgence for All Souls Day. So for those of you that know what a plenary indulgence is and knows what, that we celebrated All Souls Day November 2nd, last Sunday, that to receive an indulgence, which means a special grace awarded by God that removes the temporal punishment of sins that are already forgiven. It cleanses your soul as if you'd just been baptized, or you can offer this indulgence up for a soul, somebody that you know that passed. And so you need to visit a cemetery and pray for that person between November 1st and 8th, and then follow the usual conditions of an indulgence, which means being free from sin or attachment to sin, receiving Holy Communion, making a sacramental confession about 20 days before or after, praying for the Pope's intentions. And even a partial indulgence can be gained by praying the Eternal Rest Prayer, Eternal Grace grant unto them, O Lord, and may perpetual light shine upon them. May their soul and the souls of all the faithfully departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen. So, and those of you that are trying to gain the Jubilee Year indulgence, this can also, you can apply the same to the Jubilee indulgence by visiting one of the Jubilee sites. So I just want to remind you, November 8th, this is the last day within the octave of All Souls Day to visit your loved ones at the cemetery. I know a lot of you did it last time. Okay, time to go to our phones. It's time for you to call, too. We've got a couple lines open waiting to hear from you, and you can still get on this hour. The number to get on today's Mast Appeal with your question or personal problem is 877. That makes it toll-free. 573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. Tim from Seattle, you're next. Welcome to the show. Thanks for calling, Tim. What's your question today?
Hi, thank you for the show. I'll try to be quick.
Okay.
So how do you handle, besides a lot of prayers, conflict in a step-parent situation where you're, you know, the biological parent, I don't believe, for whatever reason, their background, their own raising, didn't raise the child to be, you know, super productive or, like, just basically to be able to be independent once they turn 18. So here we are, they're turning, the child is turning 23, still living at home, not a whole lot of ambition, you know, and I come from a background where this is like absurd, you know, and the conflict there is just, how do you deal with that?
I bet it's driving you crazy, Tim, if you're a hard worker. All right, how does his mother feel about that? Is she fine accepting it and thinks that you're unreasonable, or does she wish she had disciplined him better to be more a productive citizen? What's her feeling?
Unfortunately, the first one you described, because I guess there's a lot of codependency that was created there because they were on their own for a while. And maybe because of their background, it's like somewhat normal for kids to stay at home for almost indefinitely.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. All right. And then have you approached this with her or with him, and what is their reaction?
I think the biological mom can agree with me, but not a whole lot of effort is put into changing it. Maybe,
we
should have a talk with them, just like I have a talk with them, but yeah, I don't see things changing.
Okay, so she agrees, but she doesn't know what to do or how to do it. And then,
in conversation.
Okay, but doesn't take action. Oh, this must be driving you crazy, I can imagine. All right, and does she allow you to speak with him directly about it since you're the man of the house, or does she want to deal with it herself?
All right, yeah, she don't mind.
She's okay
if
you...
okay.
And does he respond to you at all?
I think over the years, originally, maybe 5 or 10 years ago, it was all negative, but I think he's finally starting to come around, but again, not a whole lot of things change.
Okay, all right. So you need a program and a plan. It's going to go two ways. One, with your wife that you married and you love, and she doesn't have the wherewithal inside of herself to be a strong leader or strong parent, and she hadn't been in the past. So how can you help her to strengthen herself? Because if she agrees in words, it's just her weakness, which is our normal human weakness. She needs grace. She needs encouragement. She needs affirmation. She needs specific steps to take. Because the most important thing will be if you can have some unity about it, where the biological parent agrees with the step parent, and they both agree on house rules and consequences, and they present a united front. So is he one of the guys that is like sitting in the basement playing video games and has no job at all, or does he work part-time? What's his situation?
Your first description there. Yeah.
Okay. Oh my goodness. I had a cousin like that. All right. So here's something important for you to remember and to tell your wife, Tim, is that a human being that is in that position that is unproductive is also unfulfilled. They're not happy with themselves. So they have to get out and take little steps to feel a little bit of success. Physically, there are things that he can do, and maybe you can do it with him, or maybe you can set challenges for him, and that is get out in the sunshine. Sunshine helps people's moods and attitudes. Guys that are sitting in the basement are not going to cheer up very well. So get outside, 3 walks a day, one in the morning sun, one in the noon sun, one in the night sun, just so he sees something bigger than himself and his video game. So sunshine is a beginning of that, because then it can help if he got stuck in depression or something like that. So sunshine and exercise are the starts. And so if he could do 30 minutes in the morning, 30 minutes in noon, 30 minutes at night of sunshine and exercise, that is step one. Because anything that is just going on in his head is not going to make a difference if his cells don't have the energy just to get up and go out. So you could be an exercise family, and whether he does that with his mom or with you or on his own, sunshine and exercise 3 times a day. I know it isn't easy to find sun in Seattle, but when at least we'll get some light coming through the clouds there. So that would be step one. Then as he feels a little bit better, hopefully in about 10 days, just say, let's think about what you want to do with your life instead of just telling him, you're a loser, you're not doing anything with your life. Just act as if the past is over and speak as if it starts today. And then look at his talents or his gifts. I coach a lot of young people and old people and middle-aged people. But one thing that I recommend is to take a temperament quiz, a personality test, temperamentquiz.com. Tell them to go to temperamentquiz.com. And that will help him know his strengths and weaknesses. It's a 10-minute quiz online. They'll give you the answers at the end. You say, hey, let's all, you could even take it as a family. Everybody take the temperament quiz. But your purpose of you guys taking it is so he can see what his strengths and weaknesses are. And then we can look at what he could be good at. It'll also list in the response what different careers are good for that kind of person. And what saints had that temperament. So look at that. Have fun with it. So get out, get exercise, sunshine, 30 minutes, 3 times a day. Take the temperament quiz, temperamentquiz.com, and then talk about what are his strengths and weaknesses. You can talk about it while you're on your walk or across the dinner table. What are his strengths and weaknesses? And then find out what his dreams are. He could probably use some coaching, but you're going to be his coach for now, Tim. Find out what God has planted in his heart. What did he dream of when he was a little kid? Is it being a pilot? Was it being a fireman? Like, what was in his heart that attracted him to something bigger than himself when he was a kid? Re-entertain those. Re-discuss those. Go to the library. Get some books on them. And see if this lifts him up out of his basement physically and emotionally and mentally in the basement. So lift him up and open his eyes. Then has he gone to any college or junior college or just have a high school education, Tim?
No, unfortunately his mother let him pretty much drop out at middle school. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Oh boy, middle school. Okay. Then the next step is going to be some job shadowing. So a temperament quiz, see what he's good at, find out what his dreams are, and then find people that do what he does. Maybe people from your church or your neighborhood or relatives, and just say, let's try 5 different jobs this week or 2 this week and 3 next week. Walk, see if you can find, walk around and follow a plumber, follow a carpenter, follow a banker. Just observe what they do all day. And this opens his eyes as to what's going on outside the basement. And it might spark in him, as you continue to pray for him, it might spark in him a little bit of hope, a little bit of confidence, because right now, all jobs are unknown. He's thinking he's a loser. If he dropped out at middle school and his mom had him do whatever he wants or whenever he wanted, he doesn't have the character to get up and do that himself. So you're going to have to help him make a plan step by step. Be patient. Don't put him down during this, but be encouraging. Like, what do you think is what should we, see when we're looking, following the carpenter around, or look around and see what you can do, and let's see what skills you need to do that. Does he need to take an online GED class to get his English skills up, or does he want to work with his hands? What can he do? And then just walk him through it step by step, because right now he's probably so overwhelmed he cannot dig himself out of the hole. So Tim, see yourself as God's gift to this boy, not in a prideful way, but in a way as how you can work himself, how he can work himself out of the basement step by step. Thanks for the call, Tim. This young man needs your help, so ask God for the grace and strength to do that.
Hello, I'm Marianne Kuharski with Pro Life Across America. Did you know that a billboard can save a baby's life? When our billboards and radio ads are running, we receive hundreds of calls from those seeking pregnancy information and support. Every caller is connected to a local center offering free ultrasound and confidential counseling. Won't you join us in this life-saving effort? Donate today and help us do more. No gift is too small. That's prolifeacrossamerica.org.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
Imagine you signed up for flying lessons, but 5 minutes into your first lesson, your instructor handed you the plane's controls and told you to try landing. It sounds crazy, but that's what we do when we ask our kids to complete a task they're not equipped for. Whether it's managing their frustration respectfully or cleaning up the messy room, if they don't have the skills they need to succeed, we're setting them up to crash. Before asking our kids to fly solo, we parents need to do some basic pre-flight checks. Are our kids old enough for the task we're giving them? Have they consistently shown mastery of that task? If not, we need to mentor them from the co-pilot seat just a little bit longer. dive more deeply into discipleship discipline techniques by checking out the newest editions of Parenting Your Kids with Grace, or Parenting Your Teens and Tweens with Grace, or visiting CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
As we approach Thanksgiving, the time to gather with loved ones, we are reminded of our responsibility to safeguard their future. Life's uncertainties can arise without warning, and without a clear legal plan, your wishes may go unfulfilled, leaving your family unprotected. At mycatholicwill.com/AVE, you can create your will at no cost, from the privacy of your own home. The process is straightforward. Go to mycatholicwill.com/AVE and prioritize your family's peace of mind.
Good morning. Welcome to Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show, call soon because we just have 30 minutes left. The number is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK. And I promised I would announce, I got an email last night from NationalCatholicSingles.com. We've had some of them on the show and promoted some of their events. So go to NationalCatholicSingles.com. They're having an event coming up really soon. So go to NationalSingles.com, select 2025 events. So something coming up called Mini Meets. So it's the Harvest Time Mini Meets. And there are 7-minute conversations, a chance to encounter a new person and have a chat every 7 minutes. And you can, in these mini meets, you can meet up with up to 7 people of the opposite sex in these mini meetings. So if you've already received an invitation by email or text from NationalCatholicSingles.com, just use that link to RSVP. Otherwise, if you're new, then sign up at NationalCatholicSingles.com. The event is free and open to all. And you're never matched with the same person twice, so tell your friends. Actually, I should call my single sons here and get them on here. And that's going to happen this Tuesday, November 18th. So sign up today. Tuesday, November 18th at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 p.m. Central. So spread the word. Sign up for NationalCatholicSingles.com 2025 Harvest Mini Meet Events for Catholic Singles. So that's kind of cool. 7-minute conversation with up to 7 people, which is how many times you're supposed to know? 49 times. 49 minutes of conversation. All right, if you're single, go to NationalCatholicSingles.com. They want you to participate in their Harvest Mini Meets for Catholic Singles at NationalCatholicSingles.com. All right. And if you're single people that were listening, if you know some, send them that information, NationalCatholicSingles.com. All right. We did that. Next is Allison from Michigan. Welcome to the show, Allison. How can I help you today?
Hi. I keep a notebook. I have a new one now, a pink one with a green star right in the middle, and I take notes. Oh, my goodness, a wealth of knowledge, and I am so appreciative of all the notes from your program every Saturday, that almost every Saturday I'm able to listen. When I'm not, I think, oh, all the things I didn't learn today when I can't listen to your program. But I am thankful for all the knowledge. And my big question was, I have been following the 8 days for the purgatory for souls, and I thought it was visit a church with all the other requirements, visit a church or a cemetery. And so last night when I got home from Mass, I realized, oh, visit a cemetery. I've been visiting the church. And so I'm not legalistic, and God isn't either, and I'm not paranoid or scrupulous, But I want to follow the rules. So I was thinking today when I go to church, should I go out to the cemetery and step in seven different times? Step in.
No. Just one time is fine. You pray at a cemetery, you visit a church, you know, within that time, you go to confession, receive communion, pray for the Pope's intentions, you're in the state of grace. No, just going over there once and praying for the soul. If you know somebody there, pray for all the souls there one time. No, don't be that legalistic that you have to step in seven times. You've prayed all 7 days. So just go visit a cemetery.
I went to Mass and communion. So you're saying not visiting the cemetery, but going to all the other requirements will fulfill the conditions if I go only once to the cemetery?
Yes, exactly. Oh, you got it.
That's a merciful answer that that I know is very heavenly. So I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, and appreciate God's blessings of the cleansing of your soul. All right. Thanks for the call. Bye-bye. Oh, this is Colleen Kelly Mast on Mast Appeal. You can learn more about my work at my website, respect4u.com, respect4u.com. And you can give us a call with your question or personal problem. The number to get on today's Mast Appeal is 877-573-7825, 877-5-PEP-TALK. We're getting close to our break, so I'm going to answer this email because it kind of relates to our last caller. So hang on, Esperanza from Georgia. I'll get to you after the break. But we go to the cemetery to pray for all the souls in there. And that reminded me that somebody asked me, is the church against cremation? And why Catholics prefer burial over cremation? So if I can get some of this information in before the break. Cremation used to be against church teaching until 1963. So those of you that are old enough that were born before 1963, you might still think it's illegal according to church teaching. But in 1963, the Catholic Church began to permit cremation, but it was not chosen as a denial of the faith in the resurrection. So Catholics prefer not to cremate because of these reasons. They used to view it as a pagan practice. So the reasons why Catholics prefer not to cremate is respect for the body. We believe body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, should be treated with dignity even after death. And so burial reflects this respect and belief in the eventual resurrection of the body. And also out of imitation of Christ, because Christ was buried after his resurrection, and we want to follow him and be like him. And burial allows us to follow his example in the hope of the resurrection. The symbolism of burial is like sowing a seed, like in Scripture in Corinthians 15, verse 42, will be raised in a new glorified form at the resurrection. And fourth is that in the past, cremation was chosen by pagans to deny Christian beliefs in the resurrection. So that's how the church discouraged cremation to distance itself from these pagan intentions. But in 1963, that changed because of financial constraints, environmental concerns, health regulations, yet the church says they prefer burial, but cremation is okay. So I hope that helps you answer that. But the ashes, this is what a lot of people don't know, the ashes should be buried. So if cremation is chosen for Catholics, the Catholic Church has clear teachings regarding how to treat the ashes. That you need a permanent resting place, like buried in a cemetery, or the mausoleum, or the columbarium, to ensure the remains are treated with the same respect as a full body burial, and provides a sacred place for remembrance and prayer, like Allison just talked about praying at the cemetery. The church prohibits the scattering or dividing of ashes. Whether, you know, people that want to keep it at home or divide among family members, that's discouraged. That diminishes the respect due to the deceased and contradicts the belief in the unity of the body. And we should have a burial in a sacred place that reflects the communal nature of the church and allows the faithful to pray for the dead together. So there should be a burial. So November is the month we remember to pray for the souls of the dead. That's why the church prefers burial over cremation and how to handle the ashes if you are cremated.
Another year has come and gone. And whether you like it or not, Uncle Sam requires you to make an accounting.
Perhaps it's time to call Myler and Zipka. They work with you to legally minimize your tax bill and identify ways to reduce future taxes. Eliminate the nagging feeling that you're paying more taxes than you need to. Call Ken Zipka today at 734-930-5500. Myler and Zipka. Integrity, excellent value, and people dedicated to a long-term relationship. 734-930-5500.
Why would Jesus choose to be present under the humble circumstances of bread and wine? It is highly fitting, says the Catechism of the Catholic Church, that Christ should have wanted to remain with his church in this unique way. In his Eucharistic presence, Jesus is always within his church in a sacramental and mysterious manner. Saint Cyril counseled, "Do not doubt whether this is true, but rather receive the words of the Savior in faith, for he is the truth. He cannot lie." Saint John Paul II wrote, "The church and the world have a great need of Eucharistic worship. Jesus awaits us in this sacrament of love. The Pope urged we, the faithful, not to refuse the Lord the time to meet with him, adoring him in contemplation, open to making amends for the serious crimes and offenses of the world." This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
Hi, I'm Matthew Handley from PurpleCatholic.com, inviting you to my new program, Death Comes for the Archbishop. Each week, we'll explore Willa Cather's timeless novel of faith and frontier life in 19th century New Mexico. You'll hear vivid narration and thoughtful conversations with historians and theologians who bring its spiritual depth to life. Death Comes for the Archbishop, Saturdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
Mass Appeal, the Saturday morning live show on Catholic Radio, where you can get some free and friendly advice from a Catholic perspective. The number to get on today's show is 877-573-7825. 877-5-PEP-TALK is the number to call. Our next caller is Esperanza from Georgia. Welcome to the show, Esperanza. You're on the air now. What's your question today?
Hey, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Okay, I have a niece who is coming back home after having her in a treatment. The treatment, she has some eating disorders.
Okay.
And in addition to that, she also has a very bad relation with a boyfriend who's been very abusive and hitting her.
Oh, no. Oh, both of those things? Her boyfriend's abusive,
yes.
And she has an eating disorder? Oh,
mm-hmm.
Oh my goodness. Okay. And then she's coming home to your house?
I'm coming back to my sister's. And,
okay.
She grew without any rules. So now my sister wants to put some rules for her.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To coming back.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to help her, but at the same time not...
Yes.
Allow her to do anything that he was doing before.
Oh, yes. Okay. My goodness. All right. Well, I worked with a family that had someone coming out of the eating disorder treatment, somebody else that had cutting. I mean, our young people today, they just are struggling to live peacefully in this world, and there are too many unhealthy mechanisms they're using to cope. So she is she breaking up with the boyfriend, though, first of all, is the question.
She doesn't want to.
Oh, okay.
She
well,
doesn't understand why she needs to stop.
Okay.
Him.
All right. Welcome her home, but give her some structure or orderliness. God is orderly. And so somebody needs to be alongside of her so she doesn't feel alienated or alone. So whether that is you or your sister, her sister, if you're working with your sister to help her, maybe you can even take turns. So what you want to present to her is a structured, calm, peaceful environment. And so her day needs to be structured. Don't just let her sleep all day. She had some structure when she was in treatment. So pick up on that structure. Maybe talk to the social worker that she worked with there. And three times a day, you're down in Georgia, this will work. Three times a day, again, get out in the daylight and walk 30 minutes, morning, noon, and night. That at least some structure. Then, of course, you're going to want to structure her eating habits. If she's recovering from an eating disorder, whatever her social worker says, you put those into that schedule, and you make this a happy time where she's not alone. Somebody should be with her at all times. Then you want to create an environment where she can heal her nervous system. She's been in fight or flight for a long time and trying to survive mode if her boyfriend's been beating her. So get her calmed down and then talk to her about the importance of breaking up with this boyfriend. She might be sexually bonded to him, emotionally bonded, chemically bonded to him, and for some unhealthy reason, she wants to stay with him. So when you get her calmed down, go outside, good sleep habits, good exercise three times a day, good eating habits, and breathing while she's out in nature, you know, lifting up your arms, taking in deep breaths, and of course, praying with her. Pray with her morning, noon, and night. So you're going to have food and exercise and prayer morning, noon, and night. And then in between times, put on some happy music, whether she's happy with her childhood nursery rhyme songs or her some religious upbeat songs or with some classical music that helps her process feelings. So we've got exercise and orderliness, some good music, some happy music, and help balance her nervous system, calm talking. So don't push her into stuff, but do stuff with her to get her to calm that nervous system. And then as you pray with her, at least those three times a day, after the prayer, talk to her about what she thinks God wants for her life. Does God want her to go back to a boyfriend that beats her? No. God does not want that for her. So talk to her about God's love. Read some of the Psalms to her. Read some of the Bible, the Psalms, and even the Proverbs. And some of the beautiful messages, Psalm 139, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. So Psalm 139 is really positive and very pro-life. And help immerse her in goodness, truth, and beauty, and God. And that will be as good a therapy as what she had from the scientists at the treatment center. And when you get her nervous system calmed down, you get her soul calmed down, you get her in an orderly schedule, increase the chances of her listening to the logic of moving away from this boyfriend, starting a new life. And as I had told Tim from Seattle, it wouldn't hurt once you get her calm down, again, just doing basic things, whether it's coloring or doing the dishes or baking cookies. Have her take that temperament quiz at temperamentquiz.com, see what she's good at, what her personality is like. So you first have to help her recover her personality with that truth, that beauty, that goodness, exercise, breathing, sleep, good food, and a good hobby, and a lot of love. Okay, Esperanza, was that a lot?
No, I wrote everything down, so thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Okay, it's just creating a whole environment for her that she can heal, all right? Thanks for doing that to help out your niece. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, you mentioned that not leave her alone, but, you know, my sister works, and so that would be a little bit hard to be with her all the time.
Can somebody go over and visit her? Can she get a job doing something else or helping a neighbor rake the leaves? No, your leaves don't fall off down there in Georgia. What can she do that helps others in the neighborhood so she won't spend as much time alone?
No, basically nothing. She was working before, but again, she's coming back after 2 months.
Right. So, what did she do for work before?
She was a waitress. That's right. Okay. She's 21.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Is there a healthy environment? There are a lot of places that need waitresses, or even if not being a waitress, a fast food place, just something that is calm and healing. Is there something that she's always wanted to do? So getting a job is not bad. It totally depends on Esperanza, the environment and who she's working with. That's why I said don't leave her alone. You want her to mm-hmm. get get holy and good and calm and healthy, and have a support system. So if some other relatives can take turns, a cousin can come over on their day off, or she can go help some aunt that has a couple babies and walk them around the block, you know, give her something to do where she's productive and with other people.
Yeah, we need to check because I'm the only family here. So
okay, she could volunteer then. How about volunteering at a nursing home? A Catholic nursing home needs people to wheel people from their room to Mass in the morning, you know, or in the afternoon, wheel them to activities, and the nurse practitioners and licensed practice LPNs put them in the chair and you just wheel them down around. So volunteering at a nursing home might be another calm thing she can do if she doesn't have a job or isn't sure she wants to work. But that giving of herself, it will stretch her heart and change her approach toward things and give her a mission and a purpose each day or a couple days a week. All right. Maybe that'll help.
Okay. Thank you so much.
God okay. Bless. All right. God bless you too. Bye bye. Time for our break, ready? We will be back with more of Mast Appeal right after this message.
All women are invited to the new weekend retreat, A Virtuous Woman Growing in Virtue Through God's Grace. The retreat is at St. Francis Retreat Center in DeWitt and includes set-aside time for Mass, confession, adoration, and individual reflection. 4 weekend dates are available between November 2025 and April 2026. The suggested donation is $215. Visit stfrancis.ws to register today.
This week on Christ is the Answer, Father John breaks open the Theology of the Body. The Theology of the Body's books and teachings were developed from 5 years' worth of homilies from Pope St. John Paul II. He preached about the dignity and beauty of our physical form, the image of God reflected in our very existence. Join us this week as Father John shows us the glory in our creation, as well as how to read the Bible. Tune in for Christ is the Answer, Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
On the next Epiphany.
Hi, Vanessa Denha-Garmo here. Father John Ricardo from Acts 29 will be here to promote a talk he's giving at Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor called The Unspoken Crisis, Why Praying for Priests Matters. And Kathleen Beckman will share all about her new family guide to spiritual warfare, strategies for deliverance and healing.
Epiphany, weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
Looking for a more peaceful family by Christmas? Join Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak for a free live webinar, Have a More Peaceful Family by Christmas. It's Thursday, November 13th from 7:30 to 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Discover practical ways to reclaim Advent with purpose, prayer, and joy. Don't let Advent slip by in stress and distraction. Join the Popchaks and turn this season into a sacred success story. Register now at AveMariaRadio.net. And make this Advent your most intentional yet.
Good morning. Welcome to Mast Appeal. It's our last segment already. We've got several people on the line. I've got a question not answered. We'll do what we can do, or some of you can call back next week and call earlier. I hate leaving you on the line. I know you've got problems. But Galen from Glenwood, Iowa, that called in last hour, had to hang up. And she's listening on Spirit Catholic Radio, but she's got a presentation today to 10th and 11th graders on the topic of feminism and what it means to be feminine in the Catholic Church. And she wanted to ask some ways to talk about this. Since this is today, I'll answer that first, and then we'll go to our phone. Sorry you couldn't stay on the line, Galen. Just reading up on this or listening up on this will help you a lot. But the Carrie Gress is a Catholic, has her PhD, and she studied this carefully. In her recent book, The Anti-Mary Exposed, Rescuing the Culture from Toxic Femininity, would be a good tool for you to have. But since it's this afternoon, you could just go to Tan Books and read about this book, and it will give you enough information to start your talk to these 10th and 11th graders who've probably been brainwashed by the toxic feminism. Because this has been going on since the late 60s. It was elite American women. They were convinced, they convinced a majority of the country that if you could destroy the mother and child relationship, then women would have happy and productive lives. So they said, you know, stop breastfeeding, don't have children, use birth control. And this began the decay of the entire family. So in her book, The Anti-Mary Exposed, it'll tell you how radical feminism is connected to the errors of Russia, spoken by Our Lady of Fatima, how it's influenced by the goddess movement, the influence in that movement of the female demons, and to look at this matriarchy of the feminist movement. It's this cabal of elite women that are committed to abortion, who control the thinking of women through media, politics, Hollywood, fashion, and universities, actually. So that, just read the description of 10 books of The Anti-Mary Exposed, and that would help you prepare. Another book that she has written, The End of Woman, read the description of that on Amazon, if you want. And then listen to, at Catholic Answers, there is an interview with Carrie Gress called Can Catholics Fix Feminism? And this is just an audio to listen to, Can Catholics Fix Feminism? And this will give you some tips on, or you could listen to it right with your class if you're talking to 10th and 11th graders today, you know, that they can see what's been going on for the last 40 or 50 years and how that's destroyed the beauty and the gift of womanhood. And how do you be feminine in the Catholic Church? I'm going to guide you to two church teachings that I hope you have, or you can download them free from the Vatican website. And that is Pope John Paul II's Letter to Women in 1995. And have them study, have your 10th and 11th graders study Mulieris Dignitatem, which is, again, by Pope John Paul II, and it's on the dignity and vocation of women. And it is uplifting to women in that they are required to share their talents and gifts and skills with the world. And if they can combine that with their best and most important gift of homemaking and mothering and leading children to become great Christians in the world, you know, how to do that. So I would look at the Carrie Gress information interview in books, The End of Woman or The Anti-Mary Exposed, and get copies of The Letter to Women, 1995 by Pope John Paul II, and The Dignity and Vocation of Women. So those are some of the ideas that can help you today. Now, we have 2 minutes. Let's see. We have three callers in 2 minutes. Let's go to Carolyn from Louisiana. See if we can just take her in 2 minutes. And Jane and Ernie, if you could call back, I'd love to talk about that next week. So Carolyn from Louisiana, calling from a retirement place. Can you, are you on the air now?
Yes, yes. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we just have a couple minutes. So tell me your question. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'll offer you some encouragement.
You know, I'm having to be evicted. So I love living here, but it's been financially hard, but also I have clutter and I love paper things and how to let go of things. And, you know, some people have different approaches to, you know,
okay,
throw everything out, but you know, I'm trying to save some things.
Okay, this is hard, and we talk about clutter regularly on this, and I think I'll cover it again in our Thanksgiving weekend before we get new presents and more things. Better let stuff go and look at where you are in your life and what you really need. And you can take pictures of things that are just memories that are wonderful that you can look at and put them on, you know, print them or put them on a phone, however you like. Take pictures of things that bring back good memories, but get rid of almost everything as if your house was on fire. If your house was on fire, what would you save? A few basic things, 10 things maybe. So if you can look at it that way, suppose your house is on fire, you can only take a backpack or a suitcase out with you, and then think, what do I really need to live a good life? So try that theory. God bless you. Show's over already. This is Colleen Kelly Mast reminding you to be like Christ for others.
Ave Maria Radio and broadcast through the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Copies can be purchased or free downloads can be found at the Ave Maria website, avemariaradio.net. If you have a comment or question for Colleen, write to Colleen at avemariaradio.net or Mast Appeal at avemariaradio.net. And listen for Mast Appeal Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 Eastern Time for free friendly advice from a Catholic perspective.